The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Good morning, Rolien Marx. I have missed speaking to you. How are you?
Good morning, lovely ladies. It's like so girl power in studio today. I love it. I've missed talking to you, so now I'm looking forward to catching up with you this morning.
All right. So tell us what's firstly. Let's talk about these anti-Netanyahu marches that are taking place.
Well, with the contagion rate going down, thank goodness, our rate of infection and contagion is starting to decline, which is very, very good news. We are still in lockdown and still have that lockdown extended for at least another week. However, this has not stopped hundreds of anti-Netanyahu protesters from across the country. These are now very well organized and coordinated protests. And even though most of the protesters are keeping within that no more than 20 people within a 100-meter radius of their home rule, I mean, everywhere from Modi'in to Tel Aviv to the south to the north to Jerusalem, we have seen the momentum of these protests. But we have had some cases where they are breaking the kapsulot rule and gathering in vast numbers in their hundreds, sometimes even their thousands. And last night, at least two demonstrators were arrested for assaulting a police officer in a rally in Tel Aviv. And then we're also having a lot of problems with trying to disperse the Haredim or the ultra-Orthodox from violating the lockdown laws. Yesterday, there were clashes in Ashdod and quite a few people arrested when police came to break up an illegal gathering at a shul, at a synagogue. And last night in Mudi, in Elit, which is across the Green Line, it's in the in what we call the Shtachim. It's not Greater Modi'in. It's Modi'in Elit, and at least 20 people were arrested after clashing with the police. And one reporter in Jerusalem says he was beaten by a Haredi man as he covered what was happening in Jerusalem as well. And, you know, there have been some conflicting reports, some police saying, you know, we don't check the, in the synagogues, you know, carry on, but, you know, please don't be too disruptive. These are to the more extreme groups. Others, you know, really responding and obeying the police. And then we have others that are kind of in between. And I know it sounds unfair to pick on one sector of society, but it is becoming an issue. We do have now from the health ministry that at least 69% of new infections in Jerusalem are in these areas. And it's really becoming a clash between lockdown rules and trying to protect people's health and respecting people's rights to worship. And one of the spokespeople from actually Natura Carta, which I find quite ironic here in Israel, is said on TV that, you know, you have to understand that for our community, we see the more importance or the importance of adhering to Torah law as much more important than adhering to government or COVID lockdown law. So we really have almost a clash of cultures, and it's a very sensitive and very delicate line that we have to that we have to balance. And I know that many of us are concerned with some of the imagery we see coming in from New York, but it's at least here in Israel we understand, albeit the frustrations, why there are sectors within the Haredi community. It's not the whole Haredi community. It's sectors within the Haredi community that are flouting the lockdown laws.
You know, when I hear that, I think back to the first time we talk about plagues and people staying in their houses. It goes back to Egypt, right? Plague of the death of the 10th of the firstborn. When God told the people through Moses, who for all intents and purposes was the government of the Hebrews or the Israelites at that time, go to your house. Don't even look out your window. Right? I mean, and we had to stay in our houses. I mean, I wonder where these extremist views, you know, another thing is Jews saying, well, you know what, we can't adhere to it. I mean, the discipline that it takes to be an observant Jew, everything is conscious, Rolien, and you have to have a discipline about it, because within discipline is freedom. And yet, when it comes to other regulations, people just can't do it. And I can't get my head around it. I really can't get my head around it.
It's very difficult to get our head around it. You know, we always have the discussions here. You know, we have Torah observant Jews, Kippah Sulgah, who observe Torah law, serving the army and
not an Orthodox
Zionist, and Orthodox Torah observant, and yet we have elements, and I think it becomes political. We have elements within the ultra-Orthodox community that don't recognize the state. So why should they recognize the laws of the state?
Well, why should they live there?
That is very much their attitude.
But if you don't, how do you not recognize the country that you live in? I mean, really? I mean, only in Israel, Rolene.
Only in Israel. You've now knocked onto the ongoing debate and discussion and the reason we have this big division.
Okay, it's just completely bizarre. I mean, can I just ask Nobuhle, could you ever turn around and say, I do not recognize South Africa as a country?
Never.
So what does that mean? It means nothing.
Never.
It means you should get on a plane and you should leave.
Yeah, essentially.
That's just my opinion. Anyhow, you don't want to recognize the country that you live in, whether it's France, whether it's, wherever it is. Anyhow, all right, Rolene, you and I, we talk a lot about, between ourselves, about the royal family. We both follow the royal family. We love the Queen, the Queenie and Jinnah Clock and all the different elements of the royal family. And we both watched this week the royal kids, the royal Windsor children, George and what's her name? I can't even remember her name.
George and Charlotte and Prince Louis.
Right, there we go. You see, Rolene is... She comes with all the facts. And they had this teleconference, this video conference with Sir Richard Attenborough about the environment. And it was absolutely adorable. So it kind of started us thinking that maybe we should talk about Israel's relationship with the British royals.
Okay, so let's do that. Well, first of all, it was Sir David Attenborough. Renowned environmentalist.
Who did
and,
I say? Did
nobody. Richard.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
They were brothers. They were brothers.
Sorry. Yes.
And maybe Jinnah Clock has started early for us. But Sir David Attenborough, and nobody does a voiceover quite like this treasure. And he's not just a national treasure to the UK, but he's also a treasure to the world. And it got us thinking, and I'm glad that you brought this topic up, the relationship between royals and Israel. And I know in the past many people have said, you know, the royal family don't care about Israel. They never go to Israel. Well, first of all, the royal family are only dispatched to other countries in an official capacity at the request of the Foreign Office. So don't blame the royal family, guys. Blame the Foreign Office. Although we have had Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, he visited Israel many years ago. He came to see the grave of his mother, who's a righteous amongst the nations. She saved a Jewish family during the Holocaust. He came to pay tribute to her. Prince Charles has come here several times, the funeral of Yitzhak Rabin, the funeral of Shimon Peres, and then earlier this year to mark the anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. First of all, and our favorite has to be Prince William, or Prince William, as he was called, who visited 2 years ago. Unfortunately, his wife was unable to join him because she had just given birth to their third child, which, of course, Kathy, you know me and royal fashion watch, I was quite disappointed. But, you know, I understand that being a mother is probably a little bit more important than my royal fashion watch. Prince William was here, and he absolutely won the heart of Israelis. He met with a lot of young Israelis who are working in conservation, in ecology, in the environment, and now we understand why. Yesterday he launched his tremendous Earthshot Prize, which I'll talk about in a second. And then earlier this year, Prince Harry, and I know there's been a lot of controversy around him and the decision with him and Meghan to step down as senior royals. Prince Harry and his phenomenal Invictus Games, which is kind of like an Olympic Games for wounded veterans, he invited wounded veterans from the IDF to be a part of Invictus and took a lot of flack for that. But, a veteran's a veteran, and I think having served in the army, he understands and he respects some of the challenges that Israeli soldiers face. But Prince William's trip here, I mean, he met with Netta, he played volleyball on a beach in Tel Aviv. He went to visit the grave of his late great grandmother. And, you know, we also have to understand that royals are apolitical. So if they do visit Israelis, they also have to visit with the Palestinians. And I know that there are many who say, yeah, they met with the Palestinians, you know, they're anti-Israel. They're not anti-Israel. Yeah. They're apolitical, and they have to be politically neutral. And, yesterday it also emerged as unearthed his, Earthshot Prize, that he invited Queen Rania of Jordan to be part of the advisory board that are looking at the at whoever is going to be submitting for this prize.
Amazing. Absolutely. Rolene, you know what I have? I actually have the audio of David Attenborough doing What a Wonderful World. Can we end off with that this morning? And can I wish you a Shabbat Shalom and a Chag Sameach?
We can. We can absolutely end off with What a Wonderful World, because this is what he is aiming to get back at, is incredible conservation and looking after our planet.
Amazing.
And nobody does it better than he does.
Thank you so much. And Shabbat Shalom. And we'll catch up next week. God bless, Rolene.
Shabbat Shalom. Chag Sameach. God bless, guys.
Bye-bye.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.